And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America here on this Friday morning at Saratoga. A gorgeous Friday morning live from our Clear Court set. We're happy to have you on board for the next hour or so. Coming up a little bit later on, Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. We have been cycling in the Saratoga Special guys, Joe, Tom Law, Sean Clancy, throughout the meet on Friday. So Joe will wrap it up for the Saratoga Special team in a few. A little bit later on, Michael Blown from Old Friends will also come in. We'll talk some old friends and more with Michael, as I say, in our last segment. But we're going to kick things off with trainer Marquez. He has won in one of the stakes today. He's had some nice stakes action over the past few days and maybe coming up as well. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. And tried to get you in earlier in the meet. You were sending a kid off to college.
I was. We went to, down to near St. Petersburg and Eckerd College. So we're excited about that. He's doing well.
Nice. College in Florida. I like that.
So, yeah.
I went right to Syracuse.
Next,
and,
right next to the beach. It's tough. It's tough.
I
it's,
like that. Yeah, it's very tough. Very good. Speaking of traveling around, I pulled up at Equibase last night, and I was looking at entries, and you have horses at the various venues, but you have, I'm going down, and you got a bunch of maidens entered in the maiden specials at Kentucky Downs for $150,000.
Yeah. They call those stakes everywhere else, right?
That is incredible. How many horses are you going to have down at Kentucky Downs over the course of the, 7-day meet?
It's just about who gets in. It's so difficult. Yeah. You know, you enter and there's 30 horses in there. So we have a division at Churchill and at Ellis Park. And this is, they all sit there. We all enter. And if you're lucky enough to get in, you know.
Yeah, no, the purses there are just insane. Talk about Saratoga and the Saratoga season so far. And as you sat down, we've been saying it all morning as well. Boy, the weather is gorgeous now. A little hot and humid early on, but otherwise, and we'll hit on a couple of the nice performances over the past few days. But how's the Saratoga season treated you so far?
Good, you know. Obviously, you always like to win more than you do. But I don't even know how many races we won. But I think we've won 3 stakes. Just got beat in another one. And, you know, that's what we kind of, we bring a lot of horses to run in stakes and stuff. And then we bring some young horses. Usually don't bring many of our claiming horses. So, this is a tough place to win. But I'm proud of the way we did. We finished 2nd yesterday in the P.D. Johnson and won with anticipation. So it's been a good meet.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up some of those and get some comments on those in a second. Talk a little bit about, where are you based up here? Where's your barn?
29. Have been forever. I tell everybody the 3/8 pole on the main track.
Very good. And I ask everybody when they sit here, you ever bring horses back here? Clear Court?
No, I did. I was stabled here a long, long time ago with Alan
Jerkins. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we used to play football.
Well, I was going to say, play a little touch football?
Yeah, I one time we were playing football, and I was on the opposite side, and he went running by, and I went to tag him, and it pulled down his pants. So I saw a sight that was scary. And it didn't even faze him. He just started hopping, you know. He was
true competitor.
Yeah, he was. He so many great memories and a lot of things that I still do today. You know, I think back of things he told me.
So you've been at this barn for 20 nights, so it's like a home away from home, kind of.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful barn. Lucky to have it. And, we love it.
Yeah. Let's go, and I said I was going to pull up some of the replays, and I'm going to go back to yesterday because I think you have to be thrilled. Which ways, coming off a maiden victory up at Woodbine the middle of August, and you show up yesterday in the PG Johnson, Be Your Best is going to be the clear winner, but Which Ways at 19-1 going to be the number two horse. You have to be thrilled here. This was a really nice late run to wind up second in the stake yesterday.
It was. She belongs to my wife. I bought her for $15,000. I was kidding Johnny. You probably didn't see it, but I asked him if I owed him a jock's mount. The David's filly, the one, threw a fit in the gate, and when she did, Johnny got thrown over, and Dylan said, I've never had, there were two of us on one horse. So I asked Johnny if I owed him a jock's mount this morning, but I think it probably affected her a little bit early because she didn't show any speed. Down the backside, she must have been 15, 20 lengths out of it. I don't know how she ran second.
Well, when we picked up the video, she had a
I don't know how she ran second. And she's still running green, but beautiful filly, and she's got a bright future.
Bought her down at Ocala last October. So, again, as you say, kind of a bargain purchase there to be stakes placed.
Janice Joplin, who's run second. I bought her for my wife for $25,000. And then we sold her after her first start. You know, that's what I do. I don't hold on to them very long.
Well, if you get the right amount of money, I can't blame you, certainly, particularly when you pick them up for money like that. And should mention, you got at the Ocala sale, you have the farm down in Ocala for folks who aren't familiar.
Yeah, we have that's our training center. That's our headquarters. It's kind of like a Fair Hill. Everything we do is there. That's where I am most of the time. And then depending on, of course, if we have Canadian breads, they'll go to Woodbine. We have a lot of Florida breads. They go to South Florida. New York breads, you know, and Kentucky breads. Yeah. So, but we do everything there. And a lot of my horses I give the winter off. You'll see a lot of times where, like, Make Mischief. I think she won this spring, it was. Or maybe it was last spring. If I don't have horses here, sometimes I'll send them like Chris Englehart or somebody if we don't have, because we don't stay here during the winter time. Yeah.
At max, how many horses will you have down in Ocala on the farm?
In the winter time?
Yeah.
150.
Oh, okay. So
busy. That's when everything kind of comes. We pull everything out of Toronto. You know, Toronto's very big for us. And and then of course that number, that's then a lot of young ones that we're breaking and getting ready. I think this year I was really proud. I think our first 8 2-year-olds that we started all over North America all won.
I know at the beginning of the Woodbine meet you were
It wasn't just even at Woodbine. It was obviously one of them was Papio, the horse that won the with Anticipation, and then the filly you're going to see on Sunday, Wonder Wheel. Those two both won their first starts. One was at Churchill, one was at Gulfstream. So, I'm really proud of our team. It's amazing, actually. I have 10 people with me, been with me over 30 years each. So, we have one that's with me 40 years.
We've talked about it before when we've had you on, but again, we always get new viewers during the season. Just relate to us a little bit, your background, how you got into the game. Like a lot of people, actually, I don't know what the split is. I was going to say 50-50. It'd be interesting to actually do an analysis of that. People who become part of the game brand new and had no family, and then people who come in family. It does seem anecdotally about 50-50, but certainly you had the family relationship.
Right. So my dad got the bug when he was 16, his father took him to Keeneland. They lived in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then my dad moved our family to Ocala when I was 5. So I've always been around horses. I tell everybody I was foaled, not born. And since I was a little boy, I've always loved horse racing and been coming here since I was about 10.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was here, I remember when I bet on Onion when he beat Secretary. I've been coming for a long time. And so Saratoga is very dear to me. I lost my dad 5 years ago. And so there's still a lot of memories as I walk around because things have changed, but they really haven't changed. Yeah. You know, and so Saratoga's always very near and dear to me.
Jimmy Jurgens tells the great story about standing back here on the backstretch, and because of where the tote board is, he sees Onion leading Secretariat, and then they disappear down the stretch because he's here on the backstretch, and he thinks, well, when they come out, Secretariat will be, but no, when they came out, yeah. Onion was still ahead. So, yeah, and I imagine having bet Onion, that was a nice day.
Oh, yeah, it was. Well. I think I probably bet 10 bucks. I mean, I was wealthy.
Yeah, in those days, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go back, because again, you've kind of alluded to this as well. Let's go back a couple of days to the With Anticipation. It'll be number 10, Bobbio, getting it done in there. Again, had raced a couple of times, and had raced a couple of times sprinting on the dirt. What was the situation to take the shot with Anticipation, two turns on the dirt, and your feelings with the performance from Bobbio a couple of days ago?
You know, he was by Bolt. He's by Bolt D'Oro, and he's out of. He's actually a half brother to Papa Cap, my horse that was second in the Breeders' Cup. The mare's by Scat Daddy. I think you're going to see. I think a lot of Bolt D'Oros. He's by Medaglia. I think a lot of them will end up grassing, but it wasn't so much. I worked him on the grass and was pleased with him. I was shocked that he was that big of odds. I thought maybe 6-7 to 1.
Yeah, second longest price on the board of 23 to 1.
My deal was just trying to run him long. He's a big boy. He's 16-3, 17 hands, and really hasn't grown up yet. When I first watched the race, I thought, oh, he ran well. Maybe we got lucky. You know, Shug's horse came running late. But after I analyzed a little better, he ran a hell of a race.
Yeah.
Because he took all the heat early. The horse he took it from got beat 40 lengths. Then he had another horse come at him, and he just kept fighting. And he was tired. But that race is going to really help him. I think he might. I was, after, like I said, I thought, oh, we got lucky. Maybe we won. And then when I sat back and analyzed it, I thought, this might be a little better effort than I first thought. And doesn't surprise me. He has everything you look for in a racehorse. He's a beautiful horse, big, great moving horse with a huge pedigree. Mare's now had two foals, Papa Cap and him. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, very good. What might be next for him? Summer up at Woodbine?
No, the summer's a little too quick. Yeah. I'm probably going to run him in the Bourbon.
Okay.
I like that. That's where we're going to run the Breeders' Cup. I think a good effort there. He deserves a shot in the Breeders' Cup. So that's probably where he's going.
Yeah, he certainly looked good the other day. And again, stretching out for a couple of dirt sprints.
I was going to run him. I thought that morning, all the rain we had the day before, I said, there is no way we're going to run on the turf. I was going to run him on the dirt.
Yeah.
And just because he was going to get to run a mile, which I think, you know, when we ran him, he won his first start. When we ran him in Saratoga, and a lot of people maybe don't realize this, but boy, the kickback. If you don't have some speed, it's just brutal. I ran his brother, Papa Cap, in the Amsterdam. He ran fourth. He couldn't open his eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, the kickback gets him after the race. And so I told both the owners, I said, this horse is a lot better than you saw. So you just had to take that race and throw it out.
Yeah, we had the rainy day, 6 or 7 days ago. And a couple of days after that, the track was listed, I believe, as fast. But jockeys were coming back and the horses were coming back covered.
Yeah.
All right, also wanted to show a little earlier in the meet, we kind of made an allusion to this as well. Not that, this was only, you know, back on the 26th, so fairly recently, that New York bred day. The Yotto, we will take a look at number 6, Make Mischief, get it done in here. And this was a race that was originally scheduled for the turf, moved over to the dirt, and, I mean, it seemed to fit Make Mischief like a glove in here. Talk about the performance.
You know, I'm anxious to get her on the grass. She's got 4 siblings that are winners on the grass, into Mischief. They can do anything. And what happened was, earlier in the meet, we entered her in a New York bred race and it didn't fill, stake. Only got 3 horses. So we had to make a decision.
Plan B, works out.
Yeah, and you know, this race was good. I was happy to win it. But I am anxious at some point to get her on the turf, give her a try. I think she deserves at least a try.
Yeah, she does. This is now 7th career victory in 20 starts, and they've all been on the dirt. And I see you have a turf workout going back to the middle of the month.
It was good. Yeah, as was Poppy. His was good too when we worked him. I was very pleased with that. So I thought he would handle the grass. I thought she would handle the grass.
Anything in mind for her, make mischief, or are you?
Not really. We're still searching, and no, we haven't come up with a decision. I find she's a little better if I give her a little bit of time between races. She puts a lot into it. Big filly.
I'm going to pull up a couple of stakes up at Woodbine, too, and see what you may have in store for these. But before I do that, you talk about, you know, you moved to Ocala at a young age, and you've been into the racing game since you were a kid. But how did you transition? Because you've been a big player for years and years and years north of the border, up at Woodbine.
Well, I was. A lot of people don't know, but I held the record at Churchill Downs for the most wins at a spring meet in the 80s. But I was a little burnt out, and I was a little tired of the moving, and so Churchill's meet ended, and I took about 10 grass horses to Woodbine and never came back. And I was quite content. We were doing well, but my oldest son Norman, who now trains, he's a Louisville boy. He loves Louisville, was born in Louisville. He said, "Dad, we got to start running again in the U.S. and that was about the same time as the Oxleys came along, and they, you know, they wanted to try to win the Kentucky Derby and this. And so then we started back, and that was about 10, 12 years ago. And I took some, you know, I had to make a lot of big changes. You gear one way, and then you try to gear another way. And but we still, look, Toronto and Woodbine is a wonderful place. You've been there.
Yeah.
That is still our number one concentration. When you see us here at Saratoga, this is just kind of a token. We wouldn't have, you know, 5% of our 7% of our horses here. So you see it, we run here, but you know, it's not unusual for us to run 20 horses in a weekend at Woodbine and maybe win 7 or 8. So I come here, we like it. We have a lot of owners that come here for the meet, but we still, you know, Woodbine is our, you know, you got Chad and Todd here. This is their number one. You've got Steve Asmussen and Brad Cox. Kentucky's there. Toronto's our number one.
Yeah, I saw you in the paddock yesterday, I believe, with Charlotte Weber, Live Oak Plantation, but you run a lot of their horses up at Woodbine
as well. And I have a lot of Florida breds for her, and obviously Mr. Oxley, Tracy Farmer, DJ, you know, we're going to run two really nice fillies on Sunday for the greens. So I like to be here. They like to come watch them run. And, hey, I love Saratoga. It's my number one. If you ask me what my number one track is, it's Saratoga.
You know, you're not alone. And mine too, but Woodbine is a great place.
Woodbine is amazing. And, yeah. It's just a wonderful place.
Two turf courses.
They do a great job.
And the turf course on the outside. I remember the first visit we made up there for years and years. We would go up and cover the Queen's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. And the pandemic kind of put that on the sidelines for a while. Hopefully we get back. But I remember the first visit we made up there. I was sitting inside watching a TV with the outside turf course. And I had made a bet, and my horse took the lead at the top of the stretch. And I'm like, hey. And I was right next to the door. I stepped outside and looked, and I thought, oh, maybe this isn't such a sure thing.
Now,
that is one long stretch.
It's a different type of track. It's probably, I think, without a doubt, the best turf course in North America. I get a kick out, not so much now, but when the American riders would come up and ride, you know, they're used to making their move at the top of the lane.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You don't do that at Woodbine. And they'd stop about the eighth pole. Right, you're right.
Yeah.
It's 3/8 of a mile when you turn for home.
Yeah, as a better, it's the same thing. I looked up and I thought, oh, okay. I thought I had it in my back pocket, not so much. Speaking of Woodbine, and I mentioned we're going to take a look at a couple of stakes from fairly recently, August 21st. We're going to look at the King Edward. It's going to be Philo di Arena, Ariana. I'll go with that.
Philo.
You're probably right. The number two horse in here gets it done pretty easily. So I'm just wondering, is the game plan for this one, this is a mile on the turf, the game plan for this one, maybe the Woodbine Mile on the 17th?
Absolutely. I'm, you know, extremely proud of this horse. They, Gary and Adam bought this horse as a two-year-old, and from Brazil he came over and he was injured, and he got injured again. And then I think we took over his training as a four-year-old. And again, we have a wonderful rehab center in Ocala and everything, and we got him ready. We brought him back. We ran him last year, and he won his first start, and he hurt his other leg. They said take all the time in the world, and we did. We brought him back, and he's a terror right now. That was his third in a row to win, and he's a serious horse. He's so serious that they bought his mom, and he's got a full brother sister in her belly, and she's at our farm in Ocala. She's foals. Because she's Southern Hemisphere, she folds next month.
Oh, okay.
So and we're gonna, so we can do it all. We're gonna foal her at our farm in Ocala.
So, are the dates based on when the horse is born?
No.
Okay.
So this, she'll be he or she will be behind the eight ball for a while because.
Okay.
Born in October, they're going to turn 1 year old in January
yeah,
the 1st.
Yeah.
Unless we went back and they decided to run the horse in the Southern Hemisphere, then it would revert back to that. So
that's what I was asking.
Yeah,
she doesn't have the Southern Hemisphere June date. She's
right.
Going to still have the January
date.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also wanted to show, going back again to the 21st, the Canadian, we're going to look at Fevrover. This is another horse that came from... foreign lands, this one coming from Europe, but you've had the horse for a while now, gets it done in the Canadian, the number two horse here, and my question mark on this one is, does this one now head to the E.P. Taylor?
She does. That's what she's going to do. This was amazing because I think that's Graham Motion's filly on the outside.
Yeah,
actually
Crystal
got
Cliffs
in front of us, and I'm watching the race, and I'm watching, and they hit the wire, and Raphael on the outside horse raises his arm in cheering that he won. And I looked at my daughter and I said, I'm not so sure he won. I think we won. And we did.
Yeah, that was one of those that's bang, bang.
They run to the mirror. And
yeah,
if we'd run to the post, we would have lost. But we ran to the mirror, thank goodness. She had her head down.
So Woodbine Mile and E.P. Taylor for those
right,
two.
Yeah. Yeah, and then hopefully, you know, good efforts, the Breeders' Cup.
Very good.
For both.
And just some thoughts today on your horse in the Lucky Coin. Again, today's co-feature, Proven Strategies, comes out of a fourth-place finish down at Monmouth last time. But the race two back down at Monmouth, the close-up second in the Select, I thought was one that maybe put the horse in my mix, and I'm hanging my hat on that one, Proven Strategies.
Well, if you watch the last race, that would be about, on a scale, you know, to 1 to 10, 10 being a bad trip. Be about a 9. He never had a chance. So you just can take and throw out the last race. I kind of feel like he's grown up. He's training extremely well. And he seems to like to sprint. We just started sprinting. He's an important horse. He's who started our relationship with DJ Stables. He was the first horse I trained for him, and now we have a lot of good horses
nice.
For him. And so he's special. But look, you know, especially in those sprints, you got to be lucky.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if he doesn't run really well. He's sitting on a big race. And like I said, as you alluded to, his race two starts ago was very good. His last start, he had never had a chance. So it's not his fault.
All right, Proven Strategies today in the Lucky Coin. Mark, as always, really appreciate the visit. I know Saratoga is a busy time, so we appreciate your coming over and taking some time here. Congratulations on the nice win so far in the meet. Good luck going forward here in Kentucky Downs and elsewhere, and we'll talk again.
Well, I'm hoping to make it a big one tomorrow. I'm excited about Wonder Wheel and the Spinaway. So
all right.
We'll see.
So, give us some thoughts on that one.
I think, you know, she's 2 for 2. Very impressive. Alan always said you can't judge a horse until they run 5 times. So she's only run twice, so I might. But I put her in the league. I think she's my next Classic Empire. War of Will and Wonder Godot. Yeah. I think she's a serious horse. But now that's only 2 races, so I still have 3 more to find out for sure.
All right. So we're looking for that over the weekend as well. Good luck there. Mark, appreciate
Thank
the visit.
You. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Joe Clancy, Michael Blown also in the house. They're coming up as Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection of one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. Friday means a visit from the Saratoga Special gang. It's been Sean Clancy, Tom Law, Joe Clancy. Joe wraps it up. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Yeah, wraps it up. Sounds weird to say, as always, at the end of the meet, but, you know, here we are. We made it.
The march of time. I said on day one. On day one, you think, wow, plenty of 40 days and plenty of and you know this week is coming and that last day because it zips. And I said it the other day. Why is it that this 40 days goes by like that and the next 10 months just seem to creep along?
Yeah, or 40 days from now, you'll be like, yeah, that was ages ago. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
And it's not even, it's literally like 2 weeks from now, you're like, boy, that seems like such a long time.
I know.
That is some kind of mental, something.
Mental game Saratoga plays with all of us, I think.
Something's going on there. Talk a little bit about the remaining Saratoga Special schedule. One more print edition?
Yeah, one more print edition out tomorrow. So we got a long night ahead of us putting everything together as usual, which never seems to change. But so that'll be out tomorrow. And then the Sunday and Monday sort of handicapping will be online at thisishorseracing.com, sort of as a little mini. We've been trying to throw a little more content in there with the picks and follow everything up. And we used to try to do a wrap-up edition, and it kind of, you realize, there's nobody here to read the wrap-up edition. But we'll perfect that model someday. You know, so.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, right? Like, you walk around, we could have a Tuesday, Wednesday wrap-up edition, but I don't know who's going to read
it. I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah, there's people here, but I think the downtown distribution would drop way off. The hotels, you know, I think it would drop off.
And speaking of the handicapping, once you get Tom Law and John Schapazy in there, I just have gone so cold the last week and a half. I was right in the mix, and then the last week and a half, as far as topics, my picks are doing okay if you're playing around with them, but the top picks, I've just gone, but they are zipping away as usual.
It's harder than anybody wants to admit. I know. I think we all think we've got it figured out at various times, and then other than it'll remind you, you don't. And but yeah, Tom closed it up to one, and then Schapazian, I think he had five yesterday, and so now he's four in front. Tom had a couple too, so but John is four in front with 4 days to go. So we'll see how it goes. Both are doing really well, and it's kind of fun to see them land on different horses, and they both end up with three or four winners on the card. You know, which is interesting to me. That I guess that's different styles, different something.
The battle is fun to watch. I wish I was participating.
Yeah. But you're in the mix. You're in the mix. I don't know if you're not reeling him in, but
I mean, if you're looking at the top, I always shoot for 120. And man, I was right on course for that. But like I said, the last weekend, so now it's just going to be fun to see, do I make 120? That's going to be the intrigue. But go back to Steeplechase. You do a great job. You join them on the Fox broadcast and do the NYRA pregame looking at the Steeplechase. And we had a couple this week and just the other day, Theocrat, who I had in the mix. But boy, I thought he looked really good on Thursday, yesterday. Freddie Flinshire winds up running second. Can't reel in the winner late, but nice performance yesterday in the Walsh.
Yeah, and I get it a lot. Wednesday was allowance race at Proven Innocent, came back and won, and he was second up here at the same level 5 weeks or so earlier. I get people with feedback about the steeplechasers and say they don't. I don't understand it. I just skip it, you know. And the horse Wednesday, to me especially, was really logical. And he ended up favorite, but he wasn't that big of a favorite. I mean, he was logical if that was a flat race. He won a maiden race. First level allowance here, he was second, got stopped on the turn a little bit. You know, you can make a case he could run better. And then he comes back at the same level 5 weeks later. I mean, that doesn't matter. Turf, dirt, sprint, jumps, anything. That's the perfect setup. And I don't know. I got a lot of, like, I picked him on there. He was 5-2 or whatever, so it's not like he was some outlier. But I get some replies on Twitter. I can't figure these out. And then I'm like, well, that you're not doing any work because – anybody can figure that out if you're just – it was very logical handicapping. And yesterday, maybe – I didn't have that horse. It was his second start in America. I couldn't quite figure out where he fit with these horses. He had won a race at Colonial Downs, but it wasn't – you know, it was kind of a mid-level handicap. The one thing he had in his favor was a little more experience than a horse like Freddie Flincher. He's been doing it longer, and you could see that. Bernie Dalton gunned him, leaving the back, and sort of got three lengths on Freddie Flincher and made – Freddie Flincher, who's a young steeplechaser, still working his way up the steps. He keeps winning, so he keeps getting a tougher race, you know, and he made him try to get him in a stretch, and he couldn't quite get him. So, you know, again, I
had him at the bottom of my mix. Kerry Breon trains in the win at Colonial. I've kind of been giving horses winning at Colonial a little bit of an extra, you know, check mark because they're winning over a racetrack circuit.
Very similar setup. And the thing he did was win a winner's race at Colonial. I think the maiden winners at Colonial come up here, and it's a little trickier on him, or a little bigger step up than they might realize. But he won against winners at Colonial, and had won, you know, won overseas. So he just had a little more behind him. Again, you can't fault the way he did that.
I can't claim I had him on top. Yeah, but down no, at the bottom of my mix. Yeah. But
and Bernie Dalton getting it done again, which is fun. He's a 50 something year old steeplechase jockey, and Parker Hendricks, who was second, is 18. So you know the old guys schooled him a little bit, which is fun.
And then going back to that one on Wednesday, I had that horse right underneath. I agree with you. I don't get the people who – and you're over there on the front, you got to get Stabile and Serling to make picks on the steeplechase too. I don't get it. I totally don't get it. I use Who's Counting on Top, but I had Proven Innocent right underneath. But I thought I love the horses that can go back and forth, flat to hurdles, and that was Who's Counting. So I used Who's Counting in there. Yeah. But Proven Innocent to me was very, very playable.
No, he's a great example of a flat horse making the conversion. He was with Shug McGahey and Stuart Janney, and he won a maiden race at Belmont last fall, you know, and then was sold as a steeplechase. They obviously were like, this is probably not a horse we're going to take to Florida and Kentucky and that he's going to keep improving. And rather than lose him as a claim, they sold him to Jack Fisher, you know, and I don't know how good he is. He's probably not another snap decision, but you don't know. And he's really well-bred. He's a half to No Run Bega and Ironicus and those horses. And I got back into his pedigree and realized he's related to Sea Hero. So fourth dam is Sea Hero, was Sea Hero's dam. And I'm like, well, there's probably not many walking around the paddock that are related to the statue, you know, which is kind of
bring
fun.
Over to the statue.
Yeah, right, exactly.
A family portrait.
Exactly.
As many people seem to, boy, that statue is very popular.
He's been a lot of
for
pictures.
Now
Instagram
and Twitter pictures and just pictures to take home with people. You mentioned, you know, you had the steeplechase horse that are 5-2 prices, but it was a week or two ago you had one at 8-1.
Todd Wise horse was 8-1, and he was a little, you kind of had to know Todd a little bit, and he was coming back in 2 weeks, which would really not be Todd Wise style at all, you know, and he trains on a farm, and he ran in the, you know, he kind of ran in the same race Proven Innocent did, and came back and ran quickly, and knowing Todd, that's really not his style, so you figure his horse had to really improve off that race, and he did. You know, he was much better the second time, much more engaged. Talking to the jockey, he was like, you know, he really put me in the race this time as opposed to the last time. So.
I know you and Sean, certainly Sean being a former steeplechase jockey, but you guys also with the Steeplechase Times and whatnot. So I'll just ask you, what's the steeplechase? Steeplechase schedule from here look like?
We're headed to the big city. They'll be at Aqueduct for the first time since 1974.
Oh, right, because normally these would be at Belmont.
There's usually two stakes at Belmont opening day, and they'll be at Aqueduct that Thursday, September 15th. So it's coming up 2 weeks. And hopefully we get snap decision. And I'm not sure about the novice race, who's going to go there. It's a Lonesome Glory is a great one. Hopefully snap decision comes back. See if he can add to his lore and then there'll be a novice race.
I took a shot against, but
you probably had to trying to bet. But the novice race that they had yesterday was the one that got rained out the week before, so that compresses the schedule a little bit. I don't know if horses will come back in 2 weeks, or what horses will come back in 2 weeks at Aqueduct. Again, that's sort of the kickoff to the fall season. Then they go to the various steeplechase meets around, with the highlight being in Far Hills in New Jersey, October 15th. And they'll have that'll have full parimutuel wagering and everything again. And last year they worked it into that Fox show, and they're working on doing that again. At least some of the races, the Grand Nationals, the big race. And, oh yeah, it's a great event. It's really fun. Just a top class level, top class racing all day, big tailgate parties. The wagering they've added over the last two or three years has really added a little to it, you know. And they're actually having a 2 mile flat race this year, 2 mile turf race, that's named for John Forbes, the New Jersey trainer. And there's a few horses pointing for that are, you know, that people will recognize. Kerry Bryan just picked up Cross Border, who's going to,
oh wow,
I don't know if he's going to run over jumps or not, but I think that's his target, you know. And it should be a nice mix to see who shows up for that.
And don't you guys usually have some content for that, right?
Yes. So yeah, we'll follow that along with the website. I'll try to get last year I got out and saw, like, that was sort of the showdown, the Mean Queen against Snap Decision, so it was fun to go out that week and watch both horses train,
yeah,
you know, one at Ferial, one at Fisher Farm.
So again, this is horseracing.com. You can check out that. Let me just get some thoughts on last weekend. Again, you guys, great coverage, obviously, of all the big stakes events, but get your thoughts on the Traverse. We'll take a look at the stretch run here, Epicenter. You know, validates what a lot of people have thought, the top three-year-old. Cyberknife, I thought, ran very well to get seconds and in third. Rich Strike, the Derby winner, good fourth in here. But with the 112 buyer, Epicenter, pretty solid effort. What were your thoughts on the Travers?
Yeah, I was proud of him. You know, I don't really have anything to do with the horse, but you were like, he's worthy of one of these races. And I don't know if you try to say one deserves one or not, but he was worthy of a grade one win the way you'd been running all year. And to see him do it this way was pretty impressive, as Joel Rosario takes a look under his back for everybody. And, you know, I was really impressed by it. I thought he was the best, most consistent three-year-old all year.
Yeah.
And at some point, consistency has to doesn't have to prevail, but it has to be rewarded, I think. And, you know, and to see him kind of take control, obviously, it doesn't mean the Derby didn't count or the Preakness didn't count or anything else, but he took control of the division there. Really good effort.
And again, with the 112 buyer also bodes well for maybe stepping in against older company also. Any thoughts on any other? Malathat was impressive. Clairiere, you know, you give a pass to that race with the gate, and she bumps into the gate and was never in it. Jack Christopher kind of rebounds off the Haskell, and Cody's Wish over Jackie's Warrior. And again, I will applaud. I did it on Twitter yesterday, but I will applaud Paul Halloran came in and was doing some writing for you guys on the big weekend with the interns having shipped out. And Paul did a really nice piece on Cody's Wish and the story behind that with the Make-A-Wish youngster and whatnot. And so Cody's Wish with the victory there had a little extra special meaning as well.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And Dan Pry from Godolphin and Bill Mott both kind of had shown us, and I know the story's been done a little bit, but had kind of shown after the race, both showed us pictures and sort of filled us in with a little more of the story. And we connected Paul because we had time. We probably, in the old days, it's special if you were trying to bang that out Saturday night for Sunday, we probably don't get to all that. And fantastic story, the tale of the foal coming right to him, you know. And then we try to sometimes think we work really hard to try to add personality and things to these horses, but they have it, you know. And that part was fun. It was a great story, and as always, just a really good day of racing. I mean, you couldn't fault any of it. I felt bad, like you did, for Clairiere, didn't get her chance. I guess she, you know, she did. We saw, like Steve mentioned, that she had had a cut on her tongue inside her mouth, sort of. And in some of the photos we have, that you could see that coming back. She's, you know, and that would be enough to discourage, you know. So, and those two, they'll probably hook up again. You know, they're born on the same farm, 10 days or so apart, and they've run, I think, in the same race seven times. Hopefully we get to see them do it again, because they're fun to watch.
And the Cody's Wish story was in the print, the Wednesday print edition, right?
Yes, exactly.
So if people want to go online and pull up the archive, they can find that. And again, I read that last night and sent a little well done to Paul via Twitter, because it's a nice story. And he puts a little exclamation point on the weekend as well. when you sat down, you said for tomorrow's print edition, maybe doing a little work on the Flower Bowl. Warlike Goddess, obviously the one to get through there. Any thoughts on the Flower Bowl tomorrow?
Yeah, she's the one to get through for everybody. Yeah. If you're trying to bet it or if you're trying to run in the race. I talked to Brendan Walsh and I went to see his filly, Temple City Terror, and she's run into Warlike Goddess two or three times and can't quite get the better of her, but they really like her. They think she's going, you know, she's going well and doing as well as she can, and they're, you know, she's never won a graded stake. They would love to get her one. She's kind of had a tough trip and won at Delaware last year. She ran into really soft turf at Delaware this year, and, you know, then has to deal with Warlike Goddess. So I don't think there's anything they can do. They're going to let her run her race, and, you know, maybe tomorrow's her day. I don't know. But again, I think the depth and the fun and the level of these races when you and that's the product of the little bit longer meet. We get to see Warlike Goddess twice.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen. And the same thing with some of those other horses on Traverse Day and things,
yeah,
too.
Jackie's Warrior twice, Epicenter twice.
Now Clarier twice.
Virginia Joy's interesting for Chad. I had Mike Welch in yesterday. He said Shug is a little high on Flanagan's Cove. We'll see, but it looks like it's...
Yeah, I did the stable tour with Shug, and he made it sound like that filly had a future going long. He was trying to stretch her, gradually get her going longer, and he made it sound like she had a future or an upside. Again, and Warlike Goddess has just proven how good she is over and over again. You know, I don't know if they can.
Looking forward to the Jockey Club tomorrow too with Olympiad. Can that one bounce back after a disappointment in the Whitney? Dynamic one is interesting. American Revolution, first captain for the folks at West Point. So it's a nice, you know, exclamation point on the Saturday action up at Saratoga with the Jockey Club.
In Saratoga, I was standing there the other day, and those horses go by to Paddock School, and first captain just, like, walks right by you from me to you, you know, and he looks fantastic, you know, and I think that's part of the fun. And if fans get here, they usually Paddock School between 10:30 and 11:30, and you can see some big names, especially the week leading up to some of these major races. You know, it's fun.
Last edition is tomorrow, and when we talked last week maybe with Tom, is it the Little Guy Stable Tour? That's one of my favorites.
We actually were sorry, no Little Guy Stable Tour this year.
Oh.
Mostly the schedule got a little out of whack, so it is the Bill Mott Stable Tour, though,
okay,
so, which is
good.
Also a highlight.
I will note, the Little Guy Stable Tour takes some extra work.
Oh, yeah, it does take a lot of running around, and we've been short-staffed, and the schedule got a little out of whack, so... it doesn't mean we're not rooting for the little guys. Maybe we'll do an online little guys stable tour at some point after we catch our breath a little bit. But
Bill Mott counts, though.
Yeah, Bill Mott. It's Sean Wen. He showed us his recorder. I think it took an hour and 20-some minutes. So there'll be plenty there.
Yeah, not a groupie as this year. Once again, last hard copy edition is tomorrow, but folks can find you online beyond that.
Yeah, thisishorseracing.com has all the PDF editions of the special. It actually has all of them going back to 2012. It would be a fun off-season project to see if we could go all the way back to 2001, but those exist in big printed books at the moment. So if we can figure out how to make them PDFs, then they will complete the whole history. Would be fun to have up there.
Yeah, that would be great. Joe, we appreciate it. Pass it along as well to Tom Law and your brother Sean Clancy. Really appreciate you guys coming in and filling us in previews and reviews and whatnot on Friday mornings. Wish you a lot of good luck going forward. And, of course, we'll talk again.
All right. No, thanks for having us. We loved it.
All right. We'll take a break. He's in the house. Michael Blown, Old Friends Kentucky. We'll talk about that and more, all of that, right after this. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's warning.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Michael Blown from Old Friends, Kentucky. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
I wanted to have you in a little bit earlier. We couldn't adjust. We were going to have you on our Friday morning, and it turned out to be Hall of Fame day, and you were over at the Hall of Fame. And but you said, I might be back, and I ran into you yesterday. I said, you're coming on.
So great, great. Well, it's such a treat to see you. It's great being up at Saratoga. What a great meet it's been.
Yeah.
Sun's been shining. You know, people have been having a lot of fun. And it's been nice.
And you had some fundraisers up here earlier in the meet, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do a special fundraiser at Ann's Washington Inn. And what's really cool is Joe Boken, who owns the inn, he donates rooms to Hall of Fame jockeys that want to come back for the Hall of Fame inductions.
Oh, nice.
That we worked out with Brian Bouya at the museum, the communications director. And because it seemed like every year there would be fewer jockeys that would come back. And the reason is simply that it costs too much money.
Yeah, yeah.
So Joey throws in the free rooms for three days, and Sandy Hawley came, and Early Fires, and Jose Santos, and Edgar Prado. I mean, and you sit on the porch at the inn and just tell all stories about it. So that was a really good fundraiser. And then, of course, Joanne with Old Friends at Cabin Creek, she had a nice fundraiser at the golf club, and Acacia Courtney got the award this year, which was really nice, and it's been great.
And let's remind people, we'll talk Kentucky in a moment, but for folks who are up here in this area, they can go up and visit some of the retired folks right up the road at Old Friends Cabin Creek, right?
That's correct. It's in Greenfield Center. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from downtown Saratoga, and they got great horses up there. One of my favorites is Commentator. Of course, he won the Whitney twice, and he's up there, and Naughty New Yorker's there now. So they've got some new retirees. So if you haven't been there in a while, go up and take a look. It's really a nice time, and the horses are doing really well. And Joanne and all her fabulous volunteers do a great job. So,
for folks who aren't familiar, you know, we have you on and we talk about it. But for folks who maybe aren't familiar, talk a little bit about Old Friends Kentucky and the facility. What got you into it? But what you provide for some of these horses who are not only beyond their racing career, but maybe way beyond their racing career. So fill people in on Old Friends Kentucky.
Well, we've grown. We started it about 20 years ago as a retirement home for repatriated stallions, basically. In the wake of what happened to Ferdinand over in Japan, we decided to work with Japanese to bring home some of these horses. And we ended up bringing Derby winners Charismatic and War Emblem home, and Sunshine Forever, great old turf horse. And now it's gotten so far and it's evolved so much, and the whole idea aftercare has really taken off now, that the Japanese now have Old Friends Japan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Japanese breeders and the JRA, the Japanese Racing Association, got together. They each kicked in some millions of dollars. And now they've got this beautiful place. The thing that's only mildly irritating is that it's much nicer than ours. Their logo is better than ours. The farm's better. You know, the horses are not better. And the care can't be better. But everything else, the other stuff, is fabulous. And they combine things. It's like a combination of the TRF and Old Friends. So they do retraining, and they do eventing, and they do that. And then they have a separate place for the old guys, like We don't do any of that because I couldn't do it.
Well, but what you do is offer folks the chance to visit some of these former horses. And we're going to pull up, I pulled off your website, a little shot of Silver Charm, a little stop.
Oh, yeah.
Dear to our hearts up here, Birdstone also. And I pulled up a little video of the farm as well, just to give folks a feel of the layout of the place. So talk about if people are down in Kentucky, if people go to Churchill Downs or over at Keeneland, and maybe you want to come over for a visit, fill us in on, you know, visiting some of the old friends at Old Friends.
Well, we have the three Belmont winners that everybody hates. Saraba, because Warren was going for the Triple Crown. Touch Gold, because Silver Charm was going for the Triple Crown. And now Birdstone, of course, who beat Smarty Jones out of the Triple Crown and got booed at his Belmont. But they're happy now. We love them. And so we have them. Silver Charm is the oldest living Derby and Preakness winner. He's 28 years old now. And he's doing really, really well, and we're really honored to have him there. He's like our Elvis. You know, everybody wants to see Silver Charm, and he gives me a kiss every morning.
Ah, nice.
And it's really interesting to watch the transition that they make from the racetrack, and in some cases, other careers as eventers. Because, and this is literally true, I tell the people that work at the farm, I said, for their whole lives, they have to be trained. We look all around here, and they're being trained to do things, and being trained to be professional athletes. And then if they have a breeding career, they've got to be trained to do that. However, you know, when they come to our place, they have to train us. And as soon as you discover what each of these individual horses prefers, everything goes better. Silver Charm, for example, we have to bring him in at night because he didn't like the cars on the highway. He didn't like the traffic, the headlights. And he doesn't like getting petted. But anything else, you can lead him around with dental floss. You know, he's just really easy going. And even the ones that were temperamental, like War Emblem, even towards the end, before, you know, we had him for about 3 years before he settled down. And the other cool thing is that Shadwell has donated all their retired stallions to us. And Princess Hiss has been to the farm, and she told me, she said that Sheikh Hamdan's daughter, she inherited the Shadwell empire when Sheikh Hamdan passed away. And she's been great. She tweets me now telling me, don't forget to remove the pits before you feed him those dates I sent. And I told her, I said, you know, they really like the Dubai dates, but they don't like the ones from Tunisia. I don't know why that is. But anyway, it's a lot of fun for the horses. It's certainly a lot of fun for me. And people want to make a reservation to come for a tour, just call the office. It's 502-863-1775, and come on over. And we got Keeneland coming up, and we've got the sale coming up, and then to top it all off, we had the Breeders' Cup there, and we're
some events tied in with the Breeders' Cup.
Breeders'
Cup timetable.
We do a big party the day after the Breeders' Cup, and then we're gonna have a media day where we're gonna invite a lot of the people on a kind of a slower day, a Breeders' Cup week, to come over. I think now we have 9 Breeders' Cup winners, including Stormy Liberal, who won twice. And Breeders' Cup's always been very, very good to us in terms of their support. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But if you want to come on a little slower time, then just make an appointment. Come on, we'll get on the golf cart, we'll drink a few beers, and, you know, drive around.
Yeah, nice. There's all kinds of social media pictures from people who are visiting and remembering and visiting with their favorite horse. How many horses do you take care of now?
Well, at the main farm, 141.
Wow.
We have a benefactor who just came in and saved our lives and did a fabulous job. And we were able to get 16 horses off our waiting list. So that was great. And then, so we have 141 at the main farm, about a mile and a half down the road on Ironworks Pike, next to the Winding Oak subdivision. We bought their green space, and we have 42 over there. And then up the road on the other side across from Kroger at Ashton Grove, which is a senior citizen facility, it was built on land that used to be owned by Hillendale, John Secura.
Yeah.
So they had a barn, had all this stuff. And so they've allowed us to bring 18 horses over there, and they interact with the retirees.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
it's nice. Just a lot of fun. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a lot of interest now in building one in Florida and expanding up here in New York. So.
Ah,
we'll see what happens.
And of course, as you say, you have a benefactor, but I'm sure you can always use some extra donations and money. I told the guys pop up the website for folks who may be interested to learn more about it, or, as you say, make an appointment to go down the website right there, oldfriendsequine.org. So visit the website to learn more about the horses and the organization, maybe make a donation or whatnot. And again, it's great to see these old horses go on and be taken care of like that. And so I salute you and the whole team down there at Old Friends. And again, invite people to visit the website and learn more. So the video I showed was on there, pictures of more of the horses you have down there. Before we let you go, though, Michael, want to shift gears and go back to your previous career, where you were a movie reviewer for which Boston newspaper?
The Boston Globe.
Boston Globe. And I've asked you this before, but again, I think we always have new viewers during Saratoga. My favorite horse racing movie, I think production-wise, Seabiscuit probably takes the cake. But I think just fun for me, Boots Malone with William Holden.
Boots Malone is fabulous, and nobody's ever seen that movie. But for detail, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just really, really something. You know what's interesting? I found that there was an old episode of Banachek, which nobody ever saw, but George Peppard, played the Boston insurance investigator. There's an episode that I just recorded the other night that almost totally took place at Hollywood Park.
Really?
It's the greatest view of Hollywood Park, in and out, the backside, the front side, everything. They took over Hollywood Park for almost the entire hour. And it's really interesting to see that sort of thing. Yeah, Boots Malone is great. I like Casey Shadow a lot.
Oh.
With Walter Matthau. I think that's
Christy McNichol, was she in that?
No. She was in another picture with him. No, it's basically the story of the Romero family.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Broadway Bill,
the Frank Capra movie's really good. There are some good ones. And I love Lean on Pete. Nobody ever saw Lean on Pete. It had a very short run. But Lean on Pete, that might be my new favorite because it's such an amazing movie.
I haven't seen it.
You have to look at it.
Where did you get the Banachek episode? Is that streamed someplace?
It was on, it was funny. I was just flipping through the channels one night and it said Banachek. And I said, boy, I'm from Boston. I hadn't seen that show in a long time. So I just turned it on. And it just happened to be one where there was an insurance claim on the West Coast. And, he flew out to the West Coast. Of course, he was only in Boston to shoot it for like a half an hour. But anyway, typical Hollywood. But anyway, he goes there, and the detail of seeing Hollywood Park was really, really great. So
at one time, I was kind of, and maybe I'll bring that up, doing a project to kind of point out series shows that were shot at or about horses. There was a My Three Sons, where the uncle drove a harness horse like a time trial. And he won the time trial, and so everybody's kind of happy. But then they realized it was so slow, the horse still didn't qualify. So and there are all kinds of Odd Couple had some episodes where they would be in OTBs and things. Always a lot of fun. But yeah, on the movie side, I will tell people Boots Malone you can watch on YouTube.
Oh, you
so
can.
I will tell people if you
William
seen
Holden, one of the great underrated actors of all time.
Yeah, as a young William Holden too, worth a look. Michael, always appreciate the visit. Again, visit the Old Friends website. And if you're down in Kentucky, visit Old Friends down in Kentucky. Up here, you can go up to Cabin Creek and have some fun as well, kind of visiting with some of the old favorites. And great work you guys do. Always great to see you, Michael. Appreciate the visit.
Seth, thank you so much.
Michael Blown from Old Friends. That brings us to the end of this edition of Racing Across America for a Friday. Don't forget, if you come over today, it's a giveaway. The mini umbrella, they will give up one out while supplies last. So swing by today on what looks to be a gorgeous, you won't need the umbrella today because it's a gorgeous day up here at Saratoga. Some stakes action leading into tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow there will be an early post time of 12:05 here at the track, so keep that in mind for tomorrow. But today, giveaway day here at the racetrack, so enjoy that. If you can't make it up, watch us all afternoon here, and then tune in tomorrow morning. Again, even with the early post time tomorrow, we'll be 9 o'clock for the handicappers report, and then we'll have a little bit of an abbreviated edition of Racing Across America at 10. So as far as tomorrow's programming, we'll see you at 9 o'clock for the handicappers report and at 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. See you then. We'll be right back.
for four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.